That you've been a fan of me. See me in your fantasies. Everything I got working for me. So eat that, peep that. I'm the one to beat, yeah.
Hello, everybody. It is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Anya Esther in the production booth. We're going to drop a little Hanukkah knowledge on you this hour since it all kicks off tomorrow at sunset. But before we get there, something pretty remarkable occurred today, and that is that in Texas, where their abortion laws are about as restrictive as you can imagine, a state district court judge today ordered and concluded that a woman could have an abortion. This was Judge Maya Guerrera Gamble of Travis County District Court. The woman's name is Katie Cox. She's currently 20 weeks pregnant. And to do this, basically, the court had to issue a temporary restraining order that effectively said her doctor can and other health professionals can perform this abortion without risking, I believe in Texas, it is $100,000 and up to 99 years in prison. You know, very balanced approach to such a sensitive topic, what we can always count on from Texas. And I think what is instructive about the case, and I'll read you a little bit of the language and some of the facts here, is that what I've said all along, and when we've talked about this topic on the air, is that you can't actually legislate this. Because the terminology and what you try to legislate inevitably leads to absurd and risky results. And when you see this in law, it points you to the fact that this is not an appropriate area for legislation. And in nearly every instance, when we look at data and medical facts, the science and peer-reviewed journals, whenever there has been an attempt to circumscribe a woman's right to select healthcare in consultation with her doctor and her family, you end up hurting women. You end up lowering and injuring the overall health of the community. And so let's turn to this case. According to the New York Times, they believe that this is one of the first cases where a person went into court to seek a court-approved abortion, which I just want to pause there. Dear gentlemen, would you like to go into court and explain every time that you'd like to use Viagra?
Your Honor, look at her.
Right? Especially if you're not married, not gainfully employed, retired, your partner isn't of childbearing age, because then that is, according to the far-right Christians, that is a sin, because you can only have sex so that you may procreate. But let's look at some of this, the details here. At a high level, the court basically ruled that the procedure was necessary and fit within the exceptions under Texas's abortion ban. There are medical exceptions when the woman's life is at risk, except the law is insufficiently detailed as to what constitutes that. So most doctors, nearly all doctors in Texas, simply refuse to perform them. Now, just as a point of reference, despite the fact that now two Wisconsin courts have ruled that the 1859, quote, abortion ban actually doesn't ban abortion at all, which I explained in detail about a month and a half ago. If you're interested, you can go find that at civicmedia.us. Those who believe it is an abortion ban just as a point of fact, there are no exceptions if it is an abortion ban in Wisconsin. So you couldn't even get this in Wisconsin if it was an abortion ban. Thank goodness two judges actually read the actual language in our statute and have correctly concluded that it is not. Here's what the judge had to say. The idea that, and by the way, the woman's married, she has two kids, she wants to have another child. Here's what the court said. The idea that Ms. Cox wants desperately to be pregnant and this law might actually cause her to lose that ability is shocking and would be a gross and genuine miscarriage of justice. So I will be signing the order and it will be processed and sent out today. Not only is this a potentially life-threatening birth, it's so life-threatening that if she was unable to receive the healthcare of her choosing, there was a significant risk that she would become infertile. That's what the judge is referring to there. Ms. Cox's fetus was found to have trisomy 18, a genetic condition that in all but very rare cases leads to miscarriage or stillbirth or to the infant's death within the first year. She had visited the emergency room four times because of pain and discharge, including once after her lawsuit was filed this past Tuesday. But doctors told her that under Texas law, she was being forced to continue her pregnancy. Ms. Cox, who's 31 years old, could be seen wiping away tears from her eyes as she watched the judge issue the decision in a video proceeding with her husband, Justin. She said in an interview on Tuesday that she and her husband, who live in the Dallas area and have two young children, hoped for a big family and never planned on having an abortion. The Texas Attorney General's office, let's guess what their perspective was here. Yes, they argued that Ms. Cox did not qualify for a medical exemption to the state's abortion ban. Because, you know, most attorneys general that I know are also licensed OBGYNs. You know. Nor was this lawyer. And just keep in mind that there's a separate lawsuit that's ongoing in the state of Texas brought by the Center for Reproductive Rights, effectively trying to force the state of Texas to clarify their law because doctors have no idea what it means. And when you could go to prison for 99 years, it would tend to have a dampening impact on the care that doctors are willing to provide their patients. Jonathan Stone, the lawyer for the Texas Attorney General's office, argued that Ms. Cox's pregnancy did not meet the, quote, elements of the medical exception to Texas abortion laws. And to do that, he just cited a different doctor's opinion. Because Ms. Cox's doctor thinks that she might die or lose her ability to have children in the future. But, you know, the AG will just go get a different doctor that says something else. This is precisely the problem, people. If you were had your all up in arms about death panels back when we were trying to talk about getting Americans health care, this should bother you too. Ms. Cox's lawyer said that while the law allows narrow medical exceptions, the problem is that no one knows what it means and the state won't tell us. Uh-huh. Yes, that would precisely be the problem. In her order, the judge found that Ms. Cox's doctor believes in good faith, exercising her medical judgment, that an abortion is medically recommended and that the medical exception under Texas law permits an abortion in Ms. Cox's circumstances. Amy O'Donnell, the communications director for Texas Alliance for Life, said that the group does not support the life of taking the life of an unborn child because of a life-limiting or fatal diagnosis. Apparently, Amy thinks that the mom should just die or become infertile. You know, just not get to choose her own medical care in consultation with the physician of her choice, who is board certified and an OBGYN. Dear Miss O'Donnell, are you an OBGYN? Are you Ms. Cox's faith leader? Because I think personal liberty and religious freedom are really important things that we all get to enjoy as Americans. Anyways, just fascinating. It's a case that makes the point that I've made all along. This is not an appropriate area for state regulation, because you simply cannot craft a law that's specific enough to conceive of all the facts and circumstances and all the medical complications that can occur, and therefore women will die. It was also small. I think a couple of three, four people were on a stage somewhere in Alabama yesterday, apparently having some kind of debate. I think that was that a thing yesterday. Yeah, I think there was another Republican debate. Boy, this was rich. The only one up there that was talking about Trump with any vim and vigor was Chris Christie, and he's never getting the nomination. Vivek Ramaswamy completed his fanboy circuit of Donald Trump and everything that he represents. I think one thing I agree with Nikki Haley about is every time I hear Vivek talk, I feel like I'm getting stupider. It's so sad to me that every time you watch these Republican debates, they spend more time quibbling amongst themselves than talking about any of the big things, you know, like health care, whether or not we should actually be, you know, funding Ukraine so that Russia doesn't continue to trample on into Western Europe. You know, those kinds of things. Talking about how do we preserve democracy. Oh, yeah, the guy that's leading the polls said he was going to be a dictator on day one. You guys want to talk about that at all? I mean, none of you are within spitting distance. This was rich. Chris Christie accurately described Ramaswamy as the most obnoxious blowhard in America and shouted at him, "Shut up." Well, I'm glad they're keeping it adult there at the Republican debates. There's a couple of other little tidbits that I'll share with you when we come back. Unbelievable, everybody. And let's be honest. None of those folks are moderates. Nikki Haley ain't a moderate. She's just Donald Trump in 5-inch heels. We'll be back in a moment with more on The Maggie Dawn Show. Everything I got, I got looking for me. So eat that, peep that, I'm the one to beat, yeah. What you see is what you get. Everything I'm on an edge. Did it in a panic cause I got what I need. So eat that, peep that, I'm the one to beat, yeah. We'll be singing, yeah. Get knocked down. Ladies, I hope you're all singing along with that lyric, right? We'll eventually reclaim our healthcare rights. Just got to show up and vote so that the so-called moderates of the GOP, I mean, they're not moderate. All four of them basically subscribe to the notion that government is bad. All of them. It's interesting. It's like government is bad, except when we're keeping Americans from selecting their own healthcare. Except when government is imposing its chosen religious beliefs on other people or on people that don't share those beliefs. You know. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy held up a sign that said Nikki Haley equals corrupt during the debate. Like, and he like scratched out with his Sharpie. I mean, what? It was like watching middle schoolers fight. So debased. I mean, how pathetically timid are they? You know, like your actual competition for the nomination is Donald Trump, and yet you don't talk about them. Him, excuse me, them. He's kind of an it. This is how Frank Bruni put it in the New York Times, which I thought was really appropriate. And he's talking about the debaters yesterday. Their approach occupies the region of the Venn diagram where moral surrender and magical thinking overlap. Yes, indeed. Means they're talking about nonsense. And while they're talking about nonsense, they've surrendered any morality or moral core because they're not taking up and dealing with the threat that Donald Trump poses. Christie did try to call them on it, but it was really sort of inept. He said that his three combatants were acting as if the race is between the four of us. They're afraid to offend. Yeah, he's right. That's exactly what's happening out there. And here was this rich one from Nikki Haley. We have to stop the chaos, but you can't defeat Democrat chaos with Republican chaos. And that's what Donald Trump gives us. My approach is different. No drama, no vendettas, no whining. That's as strong as Nikki Haley got in criticizing Trump. And it took until about like three quarters of the way through the debate. Democrat chaos. I'm sorry, we've been able to elect a House Speaker without a problem when we've been in the majority. What are you talking about? And she's not different. There's nothing about Nikki Haley that's substantially different. She has better delivery because she has mastery of the English language and actually can speak in complete sentences. So, yeah. But let's revisit what Nikki Haley recently had to say on Fox News. If you've got that clip, Anya, I'd love to hear the Nikki Haley. Let's, you know, and again, this woman was the United States Ambassador to the United Nations. Let's give Ms. Haley a listen.
That is how corrupt that organization is. So my final lead up question is this. Should America once and for all cut ties with all of these globalist organizations? And if you ever became president, would you do that?
If I become president, we will get out of the Human Rights Council. We would certainly not get back into the Paris Climate Agreement.
Would we get out of the U.N.?
We would get out of the World Health Organization. The U.N., the only thing is we would defund the U.N. as much as possible. The only reason, Sean, you don't get out of the U.N. is we're one country of five that has a veto. And the number of things we were able to stop China, Russia, and Iran from doing with that veto matters. And so you keep bad things from happening, but we don't have to pay at the level that we're paying, and we don't have to be in any of those other
about it. So let's defund the UN. Check. Thank you. World Health Organization. Forget about the COVID thing. That was pandemics. Nope. WHO. Nope. Climate. No, that's not a real thing. So we dump the Paris Climate Accord and that International Human Rights Organization. Human rights, what are we worried about that for? We're American cans, you know. That's insane. Everything that she just said there is bananas. And here's some other of Nikki Haley's genius ideas. She's no moderate. She pledged to impose a term limit on all civil servants so that every public or governmental employee would be fired after a maximum of 5 years. I'm going to say that again. You want to serve your country, your county, your city, your state, 5 years and you're out. Let's think about who this includes. Physicists that work at the Department of Energy, rocket scientists at NASA, every traffic controller, food safety inspectors, epidemiologists, the Arabic and Farsi speakers that work throughout our intelligence apparatus. Yeah, you're gone. Anyone who has valuable, specialized expertise that works in government, who serve because it brings them accolades, fame, fortune, and an enormous bank account. No, folks, that's called sarcasm. No, you join the government, almost everyone that I know, because you have a sense of service. You're out in 5 years. Oh yeah, let's defund or just claw back all that money to the IRS so that it's harder for us to interact as people that actually pay our taxes and oh yeah, the effect of that isn't to save money. It'll cost the government money because we won't collect as much taxes from rich people. That's Nikki Haley. Also Nikki Haley. Congress has to vote on every federal rule and regulation because Congress is so functional now. She wants to claim she's an anti-chaos candidate. You know what would create chaos? Having a dysfunctional Mike Johnson-led House of Representatives have to vote on every federal rule and regulation. Our air quality, our water quality, energy regulations, our food safety regulations. Shame on you. It's just insane. There's not a moderate on that stage. Some of them just hide their extremism better than others. You know, 5-inch heels and slick lines and making fun of Vivek, which is low-hanging fruit as far as I'm concerned. Oh, Lord. To put a little tease out there, we are going to have a little fun this afternoon. Rolling into the Hanukkah holiday weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. I'm going to share some of my favorite sentences that have popped out of the media recently. They're rich. We're going to talk about Hanukkah, favorite sentences, and this. Doritos has invented an app that allows you to eat chips while you're, you know, on the radio or on a conference call that hides the sound of you eating chips. So everybody out there, what is your favorite chip? What are you going to be eating with the new Doritos app? Amazing. 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the phones when we come back. Anything and everything up for discussion here on this Thursday evening's episode of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next door neighbor. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You ain't never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again, you ain't never gonna keep me
down. Yes. Ready? I am a liar. I'm a liar. And I am waiting for
everybody, can you smell the latkes cooking? Oh, so good. I mean, if you have not had a properly made latke with some sour cream or latke, if I'm saying it wrong, with green onions, latke, right? Am I getting it more right?
We're okay, getting there. We're getting there.
Okay. So delicious. First of all, it's a crispy carbohydrate. So yeah. The roommate I had for years in New York was Jewish, and we used to have these massive holiday parties. I'd make like 400 butter and sugar based grandma recipe cookies from Wisconsin, right? I'd invite everybody we knew or make like reams of latkes, and people would just come over and feast. Now, New Yorkers are not used to eating at parties, right? Like there's like no food out there. People be like, can I take some of the cookies and the fried potato things home? Yes, you can take latkes and cookies home. Spreading the inclusive holiday revelry around. Let's go to the phone. So much to talk about. Cindy from Appleton, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you this afternoon?
Well, I want to go back to the thing with Nikki Haley talking about term limits. If she wants to have term limits, she should start with Congress, term limits of four terms, and then go to the Senate and make the Senate a term limits of two terms, and the SCOTUS should be a term of 9 years, and then they should be gone. I mean, if she wants to talk about term limits, let's start with those.
Hooray, Cindy. Nikki, are you listening? Because we got good ideas here in Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks so much for listening and calling Cindy. Happy holidays to you. Joanne from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Great show and wonderful callers. I'm just wondering about how we're treating Nikki Haley and also other Republican candidates, women candidates along those lines. Carly Fiorina got that type of treatment. Sarah Palin got that type of treatment. And on the Democratic side, Amy Klobuchar got that type of treatment in debate context to be demeaned in yep. some ways. I don't want to be conspiratorial here, but we may be seeing people sharpen their knives so they can go after our VP, our wonderful Kamala Harris, and that's what I'm worried about. I mean, I've seen these techniques used for my many years in watching politics, and it's a pattern. It's a pattern. And for example, Kamala Harris is going to have to memorize every single aspect, everybody's names, you know, every leader's names, every aspect of war. And all of that, memorize it, and because she'll have the question shot at her, you know, what are the three provinces of Ukraine that are most under attack, and all of that. That's scary stuff. It isn't done with men.
Oh, I totally agree, Joanne. First of all, that question was a gotcha from Vivek Ramaswamy. I love it when the guy that doesn't know anything about anything is like, oh, but I memorized this thing about Ukraine, so I'll make it seem like other people don't know what they're talking about. Listen, Vivek, it's not time for a geography quiz. It's time for democracy protection, you butt kisser. I mean, bleh. But to Joanne's bigger question, it is indeed an enormous problem. Let's talk about locally, Rebecca Clayfish. I hate her politics, but she was like very attacked, isn't even the right word, by Tim Michaels. It was nasty. Judge Rebecca Doro, by that little man who got his butt kicked by Janet. We treat women candidates so terribly. There is a double standard. Not even a double standard. It's like, oh no, we get to treat women like crap, say anything that we want while she's standing in heels, which is a difficult thing for multiple hours. I mean, it's ridiculous. Hillary Clinton and her cankles, all the criticism of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is smarter than 99% of Americans. The thing that gives me hope, Joanne, is that I bet she can memorize all of that and drop it on a dime. Go eat them up. She's a litigator, a trial lawyer. She knows her stuff. One of the most effective questioners that the Senate Judiciary Committee has ever had. It's hard to be a vice president because it ain't your agenda and you do not decide your job. So, you know, give her the border. Well, that one's easy. Congress has been popping out with great ideas over how to solve our immigration issues. Wait, no, that's not happening. But Kamala Harris, no problem. You just figure that out.
I've got a little media reference here, kind of how women seem to get over-grilled. Do you mind if I pop in with this quick?
Mind? Heavens, I'd be upset if you didn't, Anya. Go for it.
So this is such a weird deep cut, but like way back in the 70s, the model Twiggy was being interviewed by the pedophile Woody Allen. Those were their professions at the time. And he drops this question on her. This is just 30 seconds, but I think it just highlights like men don't get grilled like this. And men are allowed to get away with not getting grilled like this. He asks her, it starts with, what are your views on serious matters?
What are your views on serious matters?
Well,
I don't know. Who's your favorite philosopher?
I haven't got one. I don't know. Who's yours?
Oh, I like them all.
Who?
All your basic philosophers.
Who?
Just all of them.
I don't know.
He grills her with like, well, who's your favorite philosopher? She goes, well, I haven't got one. Who's yours? And he flounders around with the like, oh, I like them all. They're all fine. And it's like, why would Twiggy, that's not her area of, you're weird, Woody. Yeah.
First of all, what is your area of expertise, Woody? Dating your daughters?
Yeah, apparently.
Creep. I mean, this is baked into American culture. It just is. I was told by a federal court judge when I was in New York that I was to wear skirts in his courtroom. not pantsuits. I graduated from law school in 2003. Can't make the stuff up. Yes, sir. Thank you for that feedback. And here's an indicator of why we're going to listen to this Jesse Waters baloney. This is Jesse Waters on Fox News. Notice the through line here, folks.
Joe Biden used a straw. Now, if you've seen me on The Five or on Primetime, you know I recommend that all men refrain from using straws. It's unbecoming, the way a man's lips purse. The size of the straw is just too dainty. The way your fingers clasp on it, no.
What? Yes, that definitely needs some airtime on national television. If you're listening, Fox News, I'm very happy to come on and do point counterpoint with Mr. Waters on any topic of his choosing any day of the week. And I will eat his lunch because I don't want to spend our time talking about straws. I want to talk about Doritos chip noise canceling application, you know, important issues of the day. But his whole, the subtext there is sexual, right? This obsession with, who cares? By the way, there are photos of Jesse Waters sitting with his McDonald's meals with his big gulp that has a straw in it. Donald Trump uses, everybody uses a straw. Can make an argument that it's more sanitary. That's what he's concerned about. I wish Jesse Waters' mom would have called up and said these things to him again.
Tumble into any conspiracy rabbit holes. We do not want to lose you, and we want no lawsuits.
Okay.
Okay. I have a list here. In keeping with the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. We need you to be kind and respectful. Okay. You yourself mentioned that humble is a stretch, so I get that. Use your voice responsibly to promote conversation that maintains a narrative thread. There really has been enough Biden bashing, and the laptop is old. Perhaps you could suggest that your people take less interest, for example, in other people's bodies, and talk about that. Do not tumble into any conspiracy rabbit hole.
Thank you, Jesse Waters' mom. She should have added to the list, don't waste viewers' time making weird, genderly biased sexual innuendo about men using straws. And by the way, when he says that men shouldn't use straws, it's women should use straws because women should have blanks in their mouths. Okay? That's about as clear as a bell. This guy is on national television every day. Even if you're a conservative, you can't say that's ridiculous and offensive and we should be able to demand better. Now, earlier this week, I did some time with Professor Catherine Eden from Princeton's School of Sociology and Public Policy. And we talked about universal vouchers and how they are a legacy of segregation and Jim Crow. And that they are achieving precisely that segregation aim in the states that are adopting them now. They're basically just rich people subsidies. And a friend of mine who heard the segment sent me this wonderful TikTok. And so the context here before we listen to it, we got to set up a little bit. It's a woman interviewing someone at warp speed about whether or not they should be a teacher or want to be a teacher. And every person that I know that's a teacher, I sent it to and was like, is this about accurate? And they're like, it's not accurate. It is like exactly on the nose. It's 100% correct. And I thought I would share it with you this Thursday afternoon. So in the spirit of talking about education and how challenging it is for teachers and how much more difficult we've made it for teachers in large urban public school systems as we drain those school systems of all of their funding and we leave them as the educators of last resort and blame them for all of society's ills as we allow rich people to get subsidies to send their kids to private schools and we use taxpayer dollars to promote religious indoctrination in elementary and high school programs. Let's listen to what it is the teachers face.
And I'll say this too, as someone who quit education this year, this is accurate.
Oh my gosh, sorry I'm late. I had to check on this kid and then call a parent and I didn't have time to eat my lunch. But I found this bar at the bottom of my purse. So anyways, thank you for being here. So we're just gonna talk about job and we'll go from there. I'd ask you about your why, like why you wanna be in education, why you wanna be a teacher, but at this point it's a little irrelevant. Are you on medication by any chance? No, like that would be a good thing. If not, we need you to find a psychiatrist. Yeah. Do you like kids? Actually, gosh, that doesn't really matter. How good are you at putting out fires, physically and metaphorically? Are you willing to be a human shield? Would you say you're below average, average, or above average in your abilities to smell and detect weed in backpacks? Are you willing to repeat yourself, like seven to 10 times? No, not in a day, like every 10 to 15 minutes. If there was a school alarm going off and it was saying active shooter on campus, be prepared to run, fight, or hide, which would you do? Run, fight, or hide? How up to date are you with the newest language that these kids are using, like yat, riz, no cap, bruh, things like that? You have 36 bodies in the room every hour on the hour. What is your strategy or your pedagogy around how to keep the air filtered and clean? So we really don't have any students reading at grade level. You'll have all the kids anywhere between reading at first grade level to college level all in one class. How confident are you in your abilities to make sure that they're all reading at grade level by the end of the year? For how many hours can you hold your bladder past its bursting point? Just out of curiosity, what would your second job be? You know, like a job that will actually pay your bills. Do you have a strong immune system? Yeah.
What is your pedagogy around air filter systems?
That one got me.
Oh my God, how long can you hold your bladder for? It's totally accurate. So if you're a person who's complaining about your job, check yourself, because you have not spent a minute as a public school teacher. Oh, and kids spit, punch, bite you on the daily, and nothing happens. Come on back. We're going to read some fun media quotes from this week on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us for the last segment, 844.
They want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. She is Anastasia Esther, and we are now joined by Civic Media's own Terry Barr. We're going to do at least a little bit of Hanukkah here. When are people lighting menorahs, Anya? What are the candles? What is Hanukkah all about for all of us Yentas out there?
Yeah. Let me run through this holiday that predates Jesus in about 2 minutes here.
If you don't mind dropping a bunch of centuries of cultural knowledge on everybody in 2 minutes, it'd be great.
I do it like it's my hobby. So Hanukkah, let's talk about it. Hanukkah commemorates a very important battle. Essentially, you have the Syrians. They go into Jerusalem. They're like, hey, Jews, cool temple, ours now. We're going to take that. We're going to rededicate it to Zeus. And the Jewish people are like, absolutely not. Not what that's for. But do the Syrians care? Not enough. Hold on. I got to click a button. There we go. Okay. Sorry. I was hearing an echo and I'm like, where is that coming from? So that's in 168 BCE. So 168 years before Jesus is born. There's this family, this priestly family, alongside a bunch of other soldiers who fight back. They take back the temple, but when they get it, the Ner Tami, the eternal flame, is like super low on oil, and it's a very special, very holy oil. It takes time to make, and the priests look at it, and they say, guys, there's no way the flame's going to make it. We got back in time, but we won't have enough to last these 8 days that it'll take to make new oil. And they're like, well, let's pour it in. Let's see what happens. And the miracle of Hanukkah is that the oil does last. So now we eat oily foods like latkes and sufganiyot, which are like stuffed donuts. They're kind of like, are they tchotchkes? I don't even know what the other version that other cultures have. And the menorah, I can explain, is you have one candle, the shamash. It means helper. and you use that to light all your other candles. On the first night, you have one candle, second night, two, so on and so forth. Places like New Zealand and Israel have already lit their menorahs for tonight. Tonight is the first night. And when I get home, I'm going to run home and light mine. So is that going to answer like the basic stuff? I'm not sure.
It is a fire hose of cultural knowledge. I think it's wonderful. And I would love if you want to, Anya, we'll spend maybe a little bit of time on Monday talking about it in a more intentional way.
Sure. Hey, it'll still be Hanukkah by then. So that's timely. That works.
It will. We got 8 nights, right?
Eight crazy nights. Yes.
8 crazy nights. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. Enjoy the smell of fried oil loveliness in your homes. It's amazing. So one of the cool things that the New York Times does is it pulls out like favorite sentences and it shares them. This is Frank Brunei does this. I think it's Frank Brunei. Anyways, I had to call out one of my favorites because I read of a biblical thing. Yes, I do, Anya. Yes, please move Terry to the phone if you can. I read a biblical-esque writing about George Santos that was just hilarious about a week ago. But I thought this sentence summed up the saga of George Santos quite ably. And it is this sentence: for someone who deals in words, words are my trade, both on the radio and in my day job. I loved this sentence. Santos showed just how far one could go with a lie, right down to the knee injuries he didn't sustain while not playing volleyball on a scholarship he did not receive for the college he did not attend. That is Mr. Santos. Rich, here's another really good encapsulation of just a moment, I think. And this is from Peggy Noonan at the Wall Street Journal. And she's talking about, you know, there was this huge battle over the control of OpenAI. They're the folks that came up with ChatGPT. And she was noting her alarm that basically artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence is controlled by this small cabal of egocentric billionaires and sort of self-proclaimed saviors of humanity. I mean, name the large companies, they're all doing it now. Here's what Peggy Noonan had to say: that we are putting the fate of humanity in the hands of men and women of Silicon Valley who invented the internet as it is, including all its sludge. And there's something wrong with them. There's some new kind of human. Brilliant in a deep yet narrow way, prattling on about connection and compassion, but cold at the core. Yeah, Peggy, I think you basically nailed that one. I have been saying for many, many moons that one of the greatest threats posed to our collective well-being is that 3 or 4 billionaires will end up controlling our most precious assets. And that 3 or 4 billionaires with one really bad idea could blow up humanity. And we're getting closer and closer to that. So Terry, we're going to hope that we got the internet going well with you. What is your one big local and overlooked for the state of Wisconsin this week?
Interesting. You're talking about money, Maggie. If you are wondering about the state of your money, let's go straight to the bank, right? That's probably the best way to do this. There is a brand new survey coming out. This is from the Wisconsin Bankers Association. And it's asking the question of the bankers, how is the state of the economic health of Wisconsin? Well, 68% of those responding say it's good or even excellent. Interesting to see this. Also, half of those are saying they predict the economy is not going to weaken into 2024, but stay about the same. Positives, why they are seeing this includes the continuing low unemployment rates, an upswing in construction and manufacturing all across the state. But where are the concerns right now? Well, here you go. It's the interest rates still up there and staff shortages all across businesses and affordable.
Oh, and I'm sure affordable healthcare. Sorry to cut you off, Terry. We're just about out of time. Here's what I'm going to take from that. Wisconsinites have a positive forecast for the future. And I think we have President Biden to thank for that and Governor Tony Evers. Let's keep investing in the middle class. It's been a great week, everybody. Thanks for your ears. Thanks for your hearts. Thanks for your minds and sharing.